few years ago, I was visiting my then fiance Lydia in Cardiff for the weekend, and we decided to go to the gallery, into the museum in Cardiff, and we were looking around. And as we were looking around at all the beautiful paintings, I started to feel a little bit unwell. And as the day went on, I started to feel more and more unwell. And eventually, I had to go to hospital, and it turned out that I had appendicitis, and I had to have my appendix out. And so it turned out that my weekend trip down to visit Lydia in Cardiff from Aberystwyth turned into a stay that lasted almost 5 weeks. I was in hospital for a few days and then had to stay at their house while I recovered. And so I had a period of forced rest, but it was forced rest that was for my own good. I'm sure many of you have had surgery or illnesses that have meant you've had to take some forced rest that's for your own good. In many ways, the lockdown that we're going through at the moment is a period of forced rest, a period of us having to stay at home and limit what we do and where we go. But it's for the good, isn't it? It's for good. And this evening, we're looking in our series at the Ten Commandments at the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. It says this: "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So here in the Sabbath commandment, we see God planning for some rest. Rest that I think we'll see is really ultimately designed to be for our good, rest for our good. And now this commandment is rooted in creation. It doesn't actually originate in the Ten Commandments, but it exists before that. It's a feature of creation. To put it in computer or tech speak, this is a feature, not a bug. This is a feature, not a bug. You see, this Sabbath idea is very much in the DNA of creation. It's rooted within creation itself. In Genesis 2, Adam is put into the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. He's put there to work and keep the garden and to exercise control over the animals. And this is all before the fall ever happened. This was part of creation. Work and rest predates the fall, is not necessitated by it. Work comes before sin. And of course, many of us know, don't we, that after God himself finished his work of creation, those 6 days of creation, he then rested on the seventh day. God himself rested, the one who could never sin in any way, rested. This is very much in the DNA of creation. And obviously, God being all powerful, who created just by the word of his mouth, he didn't rest because he was tired, but rather he rested to rejoice. He rested to rejoice in his creation, to rejoice in that which was very good, that which he had made. He rested to rejoice and ultimately to set us a pattern, to set us a healthy pattern for how life should be. And again, it's important to remember that this was before the fall. The Sabbath was instituted before the fall, that on this day man should rest and rejoice and enjoy God and his creation. That's the way that we were designed to be before sin could ever disrupt anything in any way. And we see this in the commandment, don't we? God has blessed this day and made it holy. It's not a day that's supposed to be boring, dour, starchy. But it's a day that's supposed to be full of beauty, like it was that first Sabbath, full of the beauty of a perfect, very good creation. It's a day that's supposed to be full of beauty and loveliness. That's what holiness ultimately means, is the beauty that is in God. This is supposed to be a holy day, a day that reflects all of the beauty that is in God himself. This is a day like God did himself when he rested after creation. This is a day to enjoy God's gifts, to enjoy the fruit of the work. That's what God did. That's what Adam would have done on his Sabbaths. We don't read about them in the Bible, but if he'd had them, that would have been a day to enjoy the fruit that he'd picked from the garden, to sit and enjoy God's company, to enjoy Eve's company, to enjoy all of God's good gifts to him. And more than that, it would have been a day to give glory to God and to worship the God who had given the gifts, the God who had given him life, who'd given him a wife, who'd given him all of these good things that he had around him in the Garden of Eden. And in many ways, it's the same for us today. The Sabbath is a day that is supposed to be a day where we sit back and enjoy the good gifts of life, enjoy all that God has given to us. It's a day to rest and to reflect on all of those good things, to enjoy them and to enjoy God himself. And of course, a day to worship the God who has given us all of those good things. But as we think about creation, of course, we know that soon after the fall did happen, sin came in and the dynamic changed. The dynamic of work and rest and the Sabbath. Adam and Eve were ejected from the garden, and because of their sin, the ground was cursed. They were told that they would work the ground with toil and sweat, and it would be difficult. And so as a result of that, although work obviously existed before the fall, it would have been work that was ultimately toil-free in many ways. It would have been a work that was not so hard, not so difficult. They could have gardened without weeds and that kind of thing. But as work becomes toil because of sin, as the ground is cursed, physical rest becomes more necessary as part of the Sabbath. I know many of you have spent a lot of time in your gardens over the last few weeks working the ground, planting and weeding, and I'm sure you can testify to the toil that is involved in gardening. I spent quite a bit of time in the garden as well here, but I've just been sat reading, so I don't really know what the toil is like. But I'm sure you could testify that after a few hours in the garden, that rest is really necessary. And so after the fall, the command is much the same, but the rest is even more necessary. So what we see is this command is ultimately rooted in creation. It predates the Ten Commandments here in Exodus 20. In fact, just a few chapters before, in Exodus 16, we read of the manna that comes from heaven every day for those 40 years. And we see that this manna has come from heaven for 6 days. But on that sixth day, they get double the amount to last them for the Sabbath so that they don't need to collect on that day so they can rest and keep the Sabbath holy. So even there, before these Ten Commandments were given, we see this Sabbath in operation with the manna, with the Israelites resting and showing their reliance on God for his ongoing provision on that Sabbath. And this goes on for the 40 years that they're in the wilderness. On the sixth day, they collect double. On the seventh day, they rest and remember what God has done and is doing for them. On Sabbath, they rest from that work of collecting, while longing, no doubt, for the rest that the promised land would bring, this land of plenty. And this land, the promised land, is ultimately in the Bible a picture of the eternal rest that we enjoy through Christ and we will fully enjoy when we reach glory. So this is a creation command. It's part of the covenant that God makes with his people, a day of holy blessing for them. And so this really is the first point. This command is rooted in creation and then in this covenant that God makes with his people at Sinai. It's rooted in creation and then in covenant. It gives the people a chance to rest, refresh, and to rejoice in all that God has done. And for us today, as I've said, that's much the same. Many of us, depending on what we do for a living and what we do with our time as people who might be retired or in school, whatever it might be, how we rest from that will vary from person to person. Some of us work physical jobs, and when the day of rest comes around, we probably want nothing more than to lie down, put our feet up. Others of you work desk jobs or jobs where you're sat down. And so this day of rest, your Sabbath comes around and you can't wait to get out in the hills. You've been working mentally, but not physically. And so you want to get out, switch off your mind and exercise your legs, breathe in some deep mountain air. And that's fine. You need to rest, refresh and rejoice in whatever way works for you. But I think how you know that is that the end of your day of rest, the end of your Sabbath comes and you're feeling refreshed and ready to go again. That's what you should be aiming for. You don't want to be starting the new week tired. This is a day for you to rest, refresh, a day that's designed for you to do those things. You're designed to have that rest and refreshment. So whatever that looks like for you. for retired people, we know that you're probably busier than most of us even. And so you need to work time into your schedule where you stop whatever you do the rest of the week and you take time to rest, refresh, and to rejoice in God so that you're ready to do whatever it is you do the rest of the week. And you need to remember that it's just as part of this rest and refreshment, it's good for us to enjoy God's good gifts. Sundays, our Sabbath day, should be a day where, firstly, we trust God's provision, like the Israelites did in the wilderness. But secondly, a day where we really enjoy God's good gifts to us. I've got some friends with young kids, and they're determined to show their children that Sundays isn't a boring or unpleasant day, but it's a really good day where we enjoy God's gifts to us. And so they make sure that their kids have extra special breakfast and get to enjoy good things through the day. So it's a day that they love and treasure and look forward to. And it's a day where they get to enjoy God's good gifts to them. And as part of that, it's a day where we anticipate the eternal rest. Just as the Israelites would have stopped from their work of collecting the manna and would have longed for the wilderness to be over and to reach that promised land flowing with milk and honey. So we rest. We worship God for his deliverance, just as they would have remembered God leading them out of Egypt. We remember God's providence and provision for us in the present. But then we look forward to the day when this rest becomes eternal. And no longer do we have to go back in on Monday morning and have those Monday blues. But we have a Sabbath that lasts forever. And there's an important note that we need to make as I transition into the next point, to the second point of the two. And I'll do this with an illustration. A few years ago, when Lydia and I got married, Lydia did most of the organisation, I'll be honest. But there's one thing that I had to sort out. Well, two things. But one of those two things that I had to sort out was making sure that I had a suit to wear on the day. I took my responsibility very seriously and decided that I wasn't just going to get any suit off the peg, but I was going to get one specially made. So I got a suit that was tailor-made for me. I went and had all my measurements taken and then ordered a special suit that was designed for all my weird body measurements. And I got a suit that fit me perfectly. It was a suit that was tailor-made. I didn't need on my wedding morning to squeeze into a tailor-made suit that didn't quite fit here and didn't quite fit there, was a bit big there, a bit big here. No, my suit fitted me perfectly because it was made for me. And that's really what we heard in the reading, wasn't it? In Mark chapter 2, verse 28. That's what it says. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is a day that oozes grace. That's what we need to remember. The Sabbath, again, is a day that oozes grace. It's full of grace for us. When it says that the day was made holy, it says that the Lord blessed this day. This is a day of grace. Like all of the Ten Commandments, if they're kept, this is for our flourishing. The Ten Commandments are about human flourishing, about life going really well for us and things being good. That's what this day is about. This is no exception. Yes, we have to accept that this is a matter of Christian obedience. Really, if we're Christians, if we've been saved by grace alone, then we should be keeping these commandments as a matter of Christian obedience. Keeping them won't save us. I don't want to say that at all. But it's good for us to keep them, and they are for our good. It's about obedience. And if you ignore it, you're not just being disobedient, although you are being disobedient to God. You're actually missing out on a whole host of grace and blessing. Imagine that you plan a surprise party for a teenage child, and you say to them, oh, I want you to go out and play with your friends and come back at 2 p.m. this afternoon. 2 p.m. comes around and the kid doesn't bother to come back. Well, they've been disobedient to you, haven't they? But they've missed out on the surprise party that you planned, all of those good things that would have been there for them to enjoy. And it's the same for us when we ignore our Sabbath. We miss out on grace and blessings, as well as being disobedient. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have a retelling of the Ten Commandments. And most of the Ten Commandments are worded exactly the same here when Moses is preaching them to the people. But there's a slight difference with this fourth commandment. So I'm going to read it in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. And this is what he says this time. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So in Exodus, we saw how the commandment was rooted in creation and then is given again in the covenant. And here we see that the commandment is also rooted in redemption. So in Exodus, the reason given is because the Lord rested. So it's creation as the reason given. Whereas in Deuteronomy, the reason for the Sabbath given is redemption. It's because you were slaves in Egypt, but God has freed you from that. So now you must rest and rejoice and remember what he has done for you. Remember the salvation that he won for you in Egypt. The people were commanded here to remember Egypt as slaves, where presumably they worked 7 days a week, where presumably they had no Sabbath rest. They had no rest at all. Whereas now they have this opportunity to rest. They're commanded to do so by the Lord, to rest. Remember their salvation from Egypt. Look forward to the rest that the promised land would bring. To remember, to worship, to anticipate, to look back to Egypt, to look up to what God is doing now in their lives, and to look forward to the rest that is to come. And, well, we're further along, aren't we, in God's dealings with his people. Jesus has come and lived and died and rose again for us and has brought us rest in some ways. But the principle for us is much the same. And so the second point for us is that for us, this commandment is rooted, yes, in creation, but also in the new covenant. This commandment is rooted in creation, but also in the new covenant that we have through faith in Jesus. And as we consider what this commandment means for the new covenant, now that Jesus has come, obviously the Sabbath for them would have been a Saturday, and now we meet on the Sunday, which is the first day of the week instead of the seventh day of the week. So let's think, well, why move to Sundays? Why the first day, not the seventh day? And some people have even dismissed the commandment completely, say that this doesn't apply to Christians now in any way, shape or form. And I think that's wrong. And you see, we worship God on Sundays. We have our Sabbath day on Sundays because in John 20, we see that Jesus rises on the first day of the week and he goes to his disciples who are gathered in that room. And then we read just a few verses later that exactly a week later, he does the same on the first day of the week. The disciples are gathered together and Jesus comes and meets with them there. And just as an aside, Thomas wasn't there the first time. He wasn't there with them on that first day of the week and he missed out. So let's not be missing out ourselves by skipping Sundays. And then obviously throughout the New Testament, the apostles and Christians gather to worship, to hear the word read and preached, and to take the Lord's Supper together on the first day of the week. That's what we see throughout the New Testament. That's what Jesus seems to have commanded them to do and what they kept throughout the New Testament. And this commandment still applies to us because, as I've said, it's rooted in creation. It's been true since the beginning that we need this. And in the new covenant, this is something that we do as well. It's kind of like if you think about an old film that's now been remade, where it's based on the same kind of plot, but it's been tweaked slightly to make it better, more full. The story is even more complete and just brilliant. Or maybe think about it like a corkscrew. You know, a corkscrew goes round and round, but it goes up and up and up and you get higher up. So you have the old Sabbath and then the new Sabbath. It goes over the same ground, the same principles, but it's even further along, even better, even closer to the full consummation that we'll have when we reach our eternal rest in glory. And so now, as these new covenant Christians that we are, we gather on a Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day now because the Lord rose again on that day, the new Sabbath. And we gather to do the same things, to worship the Father the Spirit, the Son, who has won us redemption and ultimately started a work of new creation. One commentator puts it like this: in creation, God gave us ourselves. In redemption, he gives us himself. In creation, God gave us ourselves. In redemption, he gives us himself. And so that's really why we observe the Lord's Day now, because the first one was about creation and redemption from Egypt. But now we've got redemption from our sins. And that's what we remember on the Lord's Day, this even greater work that God has done through Christ. That's what we remember. We remember the rest that God has won. That's really what the Lord's Day is a picture of, the rest that we have in Christ. And we read at the very start of our service this evening those famous words from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." That's the gospel that we believe, isn't it? The Sabbath was necessary so that they could rest after the fall from sin, from toil. And no doubt that people would have rested and longed for it to be over. The Israelites would have longed to be in the promised land, which is a picture of the rest that Christ has won for us. And that's what we remember on the Lord's Day, the rest that Christ has won for us. No longer do we have to strive to be better. No longer do we have to strive because of sin. No, we sit and rejoice in what Christ has done for us, that which we can never do, that holy life that he lives that we can never live, that death that he died that we can never die, and that resurrection life that he's burst forth on that first Easter morning, meaning that one day we will likewise join him in resurrection life, never to die, never to toil against sin anymore, but just to enjoy rest with him forever. And we can start that rest with him now if we come to him. See, the price has already been paid. We don't need to strive and toil any longer. If we've come to faith in Christ now, we have a taste of that rest now, and we can look forward to the full banquet of rest that is to come in eternity. We celebrate the rest that Christ has won for us and the provision that God has given in our lives each day as we come and worship him on the Lord's Day. And it's important to note that the Sabbath was always a day of worship. Right from when these Ten Commandments were given, it was a day of worship, not just of rest. In Leviticus 23, this Sabbath is listed with the other feasts as a day where the people would gather together as a holy gathering or assembly to worship God. So it's always been a day of worship as well as rest. And that's why, as well as resting on the Sabbath, in whatever way is appropriate for us, I'm not saying that we should lock ourselves up in our rooms, but we rest and we try and stop our normal work, our normal daily routines, and we rest. And then we come to church to worship God, as his people has always done on the holy day. He is, God is the fountain of all blessings. From him all good things come. And so all that we do on the Lord's Day is come to that fountain to drink deeply of the grace that God has for us in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, the author talks about the promised land and the Israelites in the wilderness as being a picture of the rest that is to come, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we gather on the Sabbath to remember, the rest that Christ won for us on the cross, the rest that we can have with him now, and then look forward to that eternal rest. What that shows us in Hebrews 4 really is that the church gathering foreshadows eternity. When we gather as God's people on the Lord's Day, that's a taste of what eternity is going to be like. Eternity is just going to be a church service that never ends. And I know that sounds pretty terrible for some of us, maybe. But it's going to be a church service with all the terrible parts stripped out. No more cheap coffee, only good coffee. But it's going to be God's people gathered together with God present visibly in their midst, with sin no more, with tears no more, and we can meet together and enjoy that like it never ends. I can't wait for the day when this is over and we can come back together and gather as a church once again. And that will be such a happy day, I'm sure, as we're reunited with one another again. But that will be nothing compared to our first day in glory together, when we see faces that we've not seen for years, when we're there together safe in the knowledge that this is a day that's never going to end. This is a rest that's never going to, this is never going to end. This is a Sunday with no Monday coming. That's what we have to look forward to. It's a day of blessing. It's a day of God's grace to us. And so let's just finish with a few practical applications. And I just want to reiterate, this is a day of blessing, a day of grace. This isn't a day where you sit at home and abstain and think that that's how you keep the Sabbath. You don't watch TV, you don't do this, you don't do that because you want to keep this day holy. No, that's not what it means. This is a day where we refresh, reset, and enjoy God's good gifts to us. And I think we primarily keep this commandment, not in what we do, but in the fact that we make our top priority on this day coming to gather with God's people. That's really where the Sabbath is kept, where the Lord's Day for us is kept. It's in gathering as God's people, if we can. That's what we should be doing to keep this commandment. And I know for us now at this time, that's not possible. And for many people, it's not possible regardless of the coronavirus. And we'll touch on that in just a minute. But here, we rest, we refresh, we rejoice. We make gathering as God's people our top priority, because ultimately that's where God meets us to bless us, to give us grace. Yeah, I know he meets us through the word and prayer and private, and all those things are great. And he can meet us in lots of other different ways as well. But church is something which God has given us as a gift, as a day which is blessed and is made holy. So it makes sense that if we make that a priority, God will meet with us there, because that's what he's instituted it for, to meet us through the word preached, through the praying, through the worship, through the fellowship afterwards. They're all things that he's given us to bless us and to meet with us. And so with that in mind, we should think about how we can prepare practically for the Lord's Day. Well, prepare practically by making church a top priority, by being ready to be there, by being there on time if you can, so you don't miss any of it. Take whatever steps you can take to make that happen. And then we can try and prepare spiritually as well. Pray for the preacher, that they would have a word from God to give to the people that would feed their souls. Pray for other people in the church. Pray for yourself. Throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus told many parables, didn't he, that talked about the condition of people's hearts. Think about the parable of the different kinds of soil. So much importance is placed on what the hearts of the hearers were like. And so we should spend time preparing our hearts for the Lord's Day. Prepare the soil of your heart and pray that the other people in the church would have their hearts prepared as well. And then what about keeping this commandment while we're in lockdown, or for those people who can't make it to church regardless of the coronavirus? Well, a couple of points for you would be, try and keep a specific day of rest as well. It's been really hard throughout lockdown, hasn't it? All the days have just blurred into one for many of us, and it's easy for Sunday to just feel like any other day. So really try and set aside time to rest, to be refreshed. Do whatever you can to make sure that that day feels different and in a good way. And be intentional about your online services as well. Make sure that you remove all distractions if you can. I know for some of us with children and all different things like that, it's so hard to not be distracted during the online services. But just try the best that you can to hear what God has to say to you through these virtual meetings. And the same applies for those of you who might not be able to make it to church regularly on Sundays when this lockdown is over. Still try and keep specific routines and periods of rest and refreshment. And if you can, try and log into the online services and try and enjoy that. And then there are obviously a few exceptions to this. I'm not going to bind anyone's consciences on this commandment. We see from the Gospels, don't we, that acts of mercy obviously are completely fine on the Sabbath. In fact, really, that's what keeping the law is about, isn't it? The love, the two kinds of love fulfill the law, don't they? All the Ten Commandments can be summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. If you're doing those things, then you are keeping these commandments. But these principles of rest still apply. And remember, this isn't a box to be ticked. This shouldn't feel like a commandment that is difficult to keep, because this is a day of grace and blessing, and we're missing out if we skip it. Well, that's it, really. There's nothing more to say here except that from the beginning of creation, humanity has been created to enjoy time of rest, to enjoy this holy day of blessing where we rest, refresh, and rejoice, where we worship God by looking back to salvation won, looking up to providence and communion and fellowship with Him in the present, and then, of course, looking forward to that day where we will be together with one another and with God, enjoying that perfect rest for all eternity. So going forward, let's try and keep this day, and let's be expectant that God will use it to bless us and be good to us as He has been so far. Amen.